morning. Hope everybody's doing well on this Reformation Sunday. Just a few announcements. Thank you for coming. It's just wonderful to be able to, you know, worship the Lord and remember our Reformation heritage. Please remember to take special note of those persons listed on the prayer lists and their families. On Tuesday at 5:30, the Centering Prayer Group will meet again. And then after that, we have a special game night at 6:30. Then Wednesday at noon, the Brown Bag Bible Study, a very informative study being moderated and led by our pastor. 5:30 on Wednesday, the Mardi Gras Planning Meeting. And after that, well, at 5:35 anyways, the Music Masters and then the regular choir rehearsal. And, you know, for next Sunday, remember, it's fall back. You got to set your clock, so we want everybody to be sure, try to come to church, and just reminding you about the change in time. Also, there'll be a congregational meeting for the purpose of electing church officers on November 13th, immediately after worship on the 13th.
So you can be thinking, when we get to the service of remembrance, we have two names that we will read out who passed during this year, but we have a long list of others that you can look over, and if you, whether there's somebody on that list or there's somebody you just want to remember, we will invite you at that point in the service, after we've read the two names, to come forward. I will light this center candle. Then you can take a candle out of the basket and go light a candle in remembrance of whomever you would like to remember, and then go back to your seat. And we'll pause during that part of the service. So be thinking who you would like to come forward and remember. Let's begin with prayer. In your Son, you seek out and save the lost, O God, and invite us to the banquet of your eternal home. Visit your people with the joy of salvation, that we may rejoice in the riches of your forgiveness and reach out in welcome to share with others the feast of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Now please stand as you're able for the call to worship. God is a hiding place. The Spirit surrounds us and keeps us safe. The Lord be with you. Let us worship God. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 275, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. God's amazing love is this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us to wash away our sins. Because we have faith in Him, we dare to approach the throne of God with confidence, asking for forgiveness of our sins. So in faith and in penitence, let us go to the throne of God using first the prayer of confession printed in the bulletin, then praying together in silence. Let us pray. Almighty God, we confess that we cannot see your image in each and every one of our neighbors. We call each other sinner. You call us by our names. We misjudge one another. We underestimate ourselves and we undervalue creation. Pardon us, Holy One, by your grace. Reveal to us your vision for the world that we may see all people through eyes of care and hearts of compassion. Amen. Hear the good news. Who's in a position to condemn us? Only Christ. Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. And Christ prays for us. So hear the good news and believe that in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, our sins are indeed washed away. We're new creatures able to live together in peace and in love. So now, as grateful, forgiven Christians, let's stand together and sing Glory to God. Having received the peace of God's forgiveness, let's pass that peace to one another. May the peace of Christ be with you. Thank you.
guess we can bow our heads for the prayer of illumination. Come, Holy Spirit, shine your light on this God's word, that we might see what you would have us to see, hear what you would have us to hear, and do what you would have us to do through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the first Old Testament lesson this morning is out of Psalms 119th chapter, verses 137 through 144. On page 570 in the Pew Bible, if you'd like to follow along. You are righteous, O Lord, and your judgments are right. You have appointed your decrees in righteousness and in all faithfulness. My zeal consumes me because my foes forget your words. Your promise is well tried, and your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have come upon me, but your commandments are my delight. Your decrees are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I might live. Holy wisdom, holy words.
The children's sermon? Always count on Lexi. And you so don't look like a child today in that beautiful dress. That's one of the things that Mr. Schaefer just read in that said, I am small and despised. But God, through God's righteousness, lifts us up. And is there for us, even though sometimes we feel small and despised. And that's, as children, sometimes we feel like we're too small to be noticed or whatever. Well, our gospel lesson today is about a little man named Zacchaeus. Did you learn a little song in Sunday school at one point about Zacchaeus? I thought you might not have, so I've asked June and Debbie to sing it for you, because this is something we used to sing in Sunday school all the time. And feel free to sing along if y'all want to. Phil. So that goes to show us that even somebody who was short, who had to climb up in a tree to see Jesus, who was despised by a lot of people because he was a tax collector, not only a tax collector, he was the chief tax collector. So he wasn't very popular. But yet Jesus saw him and loved him. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you that no matter what we think of ourselves, you love us. No matter how small we are, you love us and lift us up. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thanks, Lexi. Our next reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. He, meaning Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He's gone to be a guest of one who's a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One show I enjoy watching from time to time is The Voice. One song that struck me was when this big, burly, bearded guy came out singing a song originally recorded by Hannah Montana, now known as Miley Cyrus. The song was entitled "The Climb." Some of the lyrics are these: "I can almost see it, that dream I'm dreaming, but there's a voice inside my head saying, you'll never reach it. Every step I'm taking, every move I make feels lost with no direction. My faith is shaking. But I got to keep trying. Got to keep my head held high. There's always going to be another mountain. I'm always going to want to make it move. Always going to be an uphill battle. Sometimes I'm going to have to lose. Ain't about how fast I get there. Ain't about what's waiting on the other side. It's the climb." In today's scripture, Zacchaeus makes a climb. And for Jesus, his continuing journey toward Jerusalem is also making a climb. Let's first consider Zacchaeus. Frederick Buechner describes him as, quote, "a sawed-off little social disaster with a big bank account and a crooked job," end quote. Suffice it to say, Zacchaeus was not a very popular man. And as we discussed last week with the tax collector and the Pharisee, tax collectors were not popular in Israel during Jesus' time. To make it even worse, our passage says Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. As such, you might expect a story of Jesus saving one of the worst sinners. But as we know, Jesus does not rank sinners. And while Luke shows Jesus paying special attention to the poor and downtrodden throughout his gospel, Jesus even has time for the rich and unpopular. What's interesting about this story is that Jesus recognizes that Zacchaeus has demonstrated the fruit of one who has taken Jesus' message seriously. First, he's demonstrated a willingness to seek Jesus, even though he does not know where that will lead. As in the song, The Climb, Zacchaeus has made the climb. He has humbled himself to do something that seems quite odd for a rich adult. He's climbed a tree to get a better view of the Lord. When Terry and I traveled to Israel, we visited Jericho. I was impressed by a sign that claimed Jericho as the oldest city in the world. It was not hard to see why Jericho would be in such a popular position in the ancient world. The place where we stopped had natural springs, tall trees, beautiful peacocks. The trip to Jericho was across some dry, desolate, treeless land to get there. And what we saw in Jericho fits my idea of the beautiful oasis in the desert. I can just imagine caravans traveling the ancient roads and then reaching Jericho and getting water to fill their canteens. It makes sense that a chief tax collector would have set up a base of operations in Jericho. It also makes sense that Jesus would travel through Jericho on his way south to Jerusalem. This story comes at the end of the story in the Gospel of Luke, that is Jesus' journey toward Jerusalem and his crucifixion. To have a climbing story here is particularly appropriate, considering the climb Jesus will make into the city of Jerusalem. Another thing that struck me in our visit to the Holy Land was the steepness of the approach to Jerusalem. The Garden of Gethsemane is across a valley from Jerusalem, and the road is so steep going down to the garden that you feel like you should just sit down and slide down the road. It is that steep. And the road going back up into Jerusalem, which would have been the bright gate where Jesus would have gone, is equally steep. It's not a walk, it's a climb. And as we know, the climb to Jerusalem for Jesus was particularly difficult because he knew what was coming. It's interesting that this story of a rich man comes at this point in the narrative as well. Luke has gone to great pains to point out the mission of Jesus to the poor and the downtrodden. And it is almost a footnote here that Luke lets us know that Jesus has come even for the rich. Even the rich who are apparently the victim of misunderstanding and jealousy. For Zacchaeus, according to the language of the tense of the Greek verbs here, in this passage, he's not just saying he will return money, he's saying he has already been returning money. Jesus is recognizing that such activity on the part of Zacchaeus shows someone who's acting on their salvation, not trying to earn their salvation. You're actually trying to act ethically. Zacchaeus' actions were consistent with the laws of Moses. He was keeping the law in ways that many of his subordinates apparently were not. According to the law, when someone steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it and sells it, the thief shall pay 5 ox for one and 4 sheep for one. That is why he's telling Jesus that he repays fourfold those who have been defrauded. The question arises, why are the people defrauded to begin with? it seems to me that he is probably making recompense for those who work for him, who are acting on his behalf. As the chief tax collector, he would be responsible for their actions. This story is an important correction to much of the doctrine that has developed out of the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke is one of the principal sources of liberation theology, which in its most extreme form teaches that God has a, quote, preferential option for the poor. Now, while it is obvious to me that Jesus teaches the last shall be first and the first shall be last, it is also obvious that there's no person outside the love of God. When we start judging who the last is and who the first is, we're getting outside our pay grade. Judging is up to God. The minute we start saying someone is first, that someone's probably last. And we start saying someone's last, that person is probably first. Judging is God's business, not ours. The minute we start getting comfortable with the gospel message that Jesus came for the poor, we get a story of Jesus dining with a rich Pharisee or staying the night with the chief tax collector. Now, while it may be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God, it is impossible for anyone to enter the kingdom of God on their own. We are all reliant on God's grace. That reminds me of the time a cab driver and a preacher died and went to heaven. When the cab driver reached the pearly gate, St. Peter looked him up and down, looked in the big book, and told him to pick up a gold staff and a silk robe and proceed into heaven. When St. Peter looked the preacher up in his big book, he furrowed his brow and he said, "Okay, we'll let you in. Take that cloth robe and that wood staff." The preacher was shocked and replied, "But I'm a preacher. You gave that cab driver a gold staff and a silk robe? Surely I rate higher than a cabbie." St. Peter responded, "This is heaven up here, and we're interested in results. When you preached, people slept. When the cabbie drove his taxi, people prayed." The message to leave judging salvation to God is a particularly important message in our day and time. It's easy for both sides of an issue to get self-righteous and intolerant of the other side. Even those who preach tolerance seem to be intolerant of the intolerant. In other words, it seems some who claim God came for everyone forget that God came for everyone. God came in the person of Jesus Christ, even for those who want to limit God's love to those who are righteous. Being righteous is a response to God's love, not a prerequisite for God's love. Being good is a response to God's love, not a way to earn God's love. Jesus demonstrated God's love for everyone by staying in the house of the unpopular Zacchaeus. Jesus demonstrated courage by being willing to speak out for someone that unpopular. Jesus, who was on his climb to Jerusalem, indicates that he has come to seek and save the lost, even Zacchaeus, even me. This should come as good news for us, because we're closer to Zacchaeus than many other people Jesus saved. However, this should also come as a challenge. How are we responding to Jesus? How are we responding to the Son of Man who came to seek and save the lost? The Common English Bible translates verse 10 as saying, the human one came to seek and save the lost. As we start thinking toward Advent, and the Jesus who came to us as God in human flesh, how are we going to respond to the human one? Are we going to repay those we have hurt fourfold? Are we going to make a climb of faith if that's what it takes to see Jesus? Are we going to climb the road to Jerusalem, take up our cross, and follow Jesus? It's interesting. Tradition has it that Zacchaeus became a bishop in the early church. As such, he would have left his position as chief tax collector to serve the church. There's no telling where the climb of faith will take you, but climbing for Jesus is the only way to live the life God intended for each of us. Are you willing to climb for Jesus? Amen. Having heard the word of God read, sung, and proclaimed, let's stand together and say what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed printed in your bulletin. What do you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 326, For All the Saints. Please be seated. There is only one Lord and God, from whom all things come, and from whom all and for whom we live. Let us offer our lives, our tithes, and our offerings to the Lord. Will the ushers please come forward? Pray. We give you thanks and praise, O God, for you have chosen the poverty of the world to make your people rich in faith. Help us to put our faith into practice through the offering of our lives, giving food to the hungry, clothes to the naked, and shelter to the poor, all for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord, your word made flesh. Amen. At this time, we remember the saints who have passed on before us into the church triumphant. Barbara Trout Corbett. Mary Kay Grum. At this time, if you would come forward, take a candle, light it on the center from the center table, and then light it at one of the either side in remembrance of those whom you love and miss.
Spirit of the
Let us pray. Promise of new creation. Let us pray to the Maker of heaven and earth, saying, God our Savior. We pray for the church. Let our faith in you and love for others continue to flourish and grow, bearing witness to your grace at work. God our Savior. We pray for our communities. Help us to rise above and look beyond the suspicions, fears, and prejudices that keep us separate from our neighbors. God, our Savior, we pray for the world. Look with mercy on this weary world, full of trouble, violence, and destruction. Let the day of salvation come quickly. God, our Savior, we pray for the earth. Heal the hearts of those who would poison the earth for their own gain. Teach us to repair, recycle, and reuse when possible. God, our Savior, we pray for loved ones. Be a hiding place for those in distress. Preserve them from their trouble and surround them with gladness and joy. God, our Savior, merciful and mighty God, as you are one, make us one with you through Jesus Christ, whom you have sent to redeem us, and in whose holy name we pray. Above all, we give you thanks, O God, that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Spirit, I charge you to go out into the world in peace. Live as Jesus taught us, willing to take the climb of faith wherever it might lead. Pass the peace of Christ among you as you go. May the peace of Christ be with you. And now may the grace, mercy, peace, and power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.